Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank God. Yes, I am very glad to be here tonight. Again, like I've said again and again, every time is precious. And all with all the irregularities and uncertainties in this world and all the confusion and, oh, God only knows. I'm so glad that we have tonight this privilege to come and worship the Lord here together, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, and as Brother Samuel said, it's going to take some determination to get through, to make it through this world, and how we need to be resolved deep in our hearts. Oh, my. Amen. We're going to be talking about that very thing here tonight with the Lord's help. Let's go before the Lord in prayer here as we begin. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this great and wonderful privilege of coming before thee. Oh, God, I thank you that we don't have to be like those that are just wandering and not knowing, oh, God, where to find thee or what the answers are or how to think. Oh, God, you've given us your word. You've given us these keys. Oh, Lord Jesus, and we're so thankful that we have such a resource. Oh, God, we have such a friend in thee too, Lord. Oh, God, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And God, I'm asking you to meet the needs of your people here tonight, Lord. I'm asking you to work here tonight. Oh, God, I pray that you set your people free, that, oh, God, you deliver in a mighty way, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray that you would put it deep in our hearts to serve thee with all our hearts, with all our minds. Oh, God, with all our strength. Oh, Lord Jesus, with our whole being, our whole soul and being, Lord Jesus. And I pray, oh God, that you'd work here tonight. God, you see every need. You know the lateness of the hour. You see the things that are ahead. And oh God, I pray that you'd help us. As we draw nigh to you here tonight, please talk to our hearts. Have your way, Lord. Oh God, that your presence overwhelm us. Let your spirit come down. Oh God, give us the words that we need, Lord. Oh God, the things that are pressing, Lord, to hear. And I pray that you would talk tonight. I pray that you would heal tonight. I pray that you would deliver tonight, Lord. And God, I'm asking that you would save tonight. Oh, by thy mighty right hand. Oh God, thy greatness, thy mercy, thy ability, Lord. Oh God, work in our hearts. Let the devil be rebuked and left have no place. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that every heart would be turned over to thee in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. I pray that you'd meet the needs of your people, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd work in a mighty way, Lord. Oh, God, thou art not limited. Thy hand is not short. Oh, God, thy ears are not heavy. Oh, God, but, oh, God, we come unto thee, Lord. Oh, God, believing, oh, Lord, that you are here to help us and to deliver. I pray that we would all, Lord, rededicate our lives, recommit, oh, Lord. Oh, God, listen, and I pray that, oh, God, there would be no sin in our lives, anything that would separate us from you, Lord. Oh, God, talk to us, Lord. You know what we need. Oh, God, I ask this in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. Please anoint these words and help us, Lord. Oh, God, help our hearts to be drawn to you. Oh, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in the name of Jesus, Lord, have your way. Talk to every heart. Let the devil be rebuked. Oh, God, give us victory in our hearts, Lord. Oh, that victory. Oh, Lord, when we hold our peace and let you do it, Lord. Oh, God, for you are mighty to save, mighty to deliver, and our strength is in thee. Oh, thank you, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Oh, he's good. He's merciful. He's so kind. We are so privileged to know him. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, Remember Lot's Wife. And I don't know, there may be already messages under that title. But oh my, I think you'll understand why. By the time we get through this, I'm trusting. But oh my. As we walk this world of life, there can't be any turning back. Oh, we're so near our heavenly home right now. We don't want anything to distract us, to hinder us, to prevent us, oh, from our heavenly destination. Oh, the Lord helping us. Oh, the Lord giving us a strength. Because I know surely we can't do it of our own accord. We can't do it by our own strength. Oh, we need the Lord. We need Him every day, every hour, every minute. And oh, my, we need to trust in Him like never before. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go into the scripture right now. Let's go, as we begin here tonight, to Luke, the 17th chapter. Praise the Lord. Remember Lot's wife. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 17. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go down to verse 26 in this chapter. Praise the Lord. Verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, here we have our Lord Jesus talking about these days that we're living in right now, these end times. And, you know, it's really something as we realize where we are in time, as it seems to us, all these things that are happening, and oh my, the Word of God, oh yes, coming to pass. But here in this chapter, as also in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and also, I believe, in the book of Mark, but in those other two Gospels, it doesn't talk about Lot like it does in this 17th chapter of the book of Luke. But there is something that we notice right away when we read of the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And I would say that what I am speaking of at the moment is that it just seems like it's another day. It's a normal time that Jesus is talking about. They are doing normal things. They're not in hiding. They're not running. They're just eating. They're drinking. They're marrying wives. They're giving in marriage and all of that. And as it tells us in verse 27, that, you know, the people did not realize the day that Noah entered into the ark what was going to happen. Not that they hadn't been warned. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he had warned them for all those years while he was building that ark. But they had not listened. They had thought it was nonsense. They had not given heed, and suddenly, and I imagine they were laughing, Brother Noah, to scorn. And you know, just thinking that was the goofiest thing ever, that huge ark that he had built, and oh yes, all the animals that were now inside, and of course Noah and his family. But oh my, that moment did come when God shut the door and it began to rain. And suddenly, I'm sure there was a realization on the face of that earth that God had meant what Noah had declared, that God had used Noah to declare the plan of God. But sadly, it was too late. And then, oh yes, we have these verses that pertain to the time of Lot. And again, we see normalcy there, where they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. They were doing all the things that they normally did. But all at once, It says that very same day that Lot went out of Sodom, judgment fell. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and they were all destroyed. And Jesus compares the times of Noah and of Lot to the times of the coming of the Son of Man, that day when the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Oh, yes, when the discovery will be to all that live on the face of this earth and those that have lived beside. Oh, yes, when he comes in the clouds and every eye shall see him, and oh, they also that pierced him. And oh, yes, there'll be a great mourning as that realization seizes hold of them that this is indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the everlasting one who is coming. And now, not as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, but now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in great majesty, in great power, and oh, yes, in such a way that no one could deny it or not realize what is happening. Yes, indeed. And yes, it tells us in verse 31, in that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Now, I do believe here in this 31st verse that there is an emphasis on that need for readiness. Because at that point, it's not going to be possible to go get your house in order. It's not going to be possible to do all the things that you wanted to do, the things that were on your planning list, and even the things that you thought you wanted to do for the kingdom of God. No, it's going to be over, and yes, there's going to be no way, you know, it's either wherever you are, whatever you're doing, there's a stop to all of those activities. It's going to be over. Jesus told a parable in Luke, the 12th chapter, and I'd like to turn there. Lord willing, I will be going back to that 17th chapter, but turning here for a moment to Luke 12, let's read this parable that Jesus Christ told himself here. Luke 12, beginning with verse 35. Amen. It says in verse 35, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Again, there's emphasis on preparation. And oh yes, we want our loins to be girded about with the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of his word, and oh, our lights burning, oh, that light that he puts inside the children of God. Oh, we don't ever want that light to go off. We want to make sure that the oil that is needed to burn that light, that lamp, is sufficient. Because surely, he's going to be coming. He's going to be coming. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour, but he's going to be coming. And that's as sure as everything possibly could be. Anything possibly could be. So it tells us in verse 36, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. See, there is this state of readiness, of preparedness. People that don't know specifically when that Lord is coming. They just have the instructions. I'm going to return. I'm going to come. Wait for me. Wait for me. Do the things that are needed to be ready. But wait for me. I'm going to come. And so, yes, he's speaking of a people. Yes, they are waiting for their Lord to return from the wedding. And yes, he's going to come and he's going to knock. And there is a need that, oh yes, that door could be opened immediately without any procrastination, without any delay, without any hindrances, or no any big gasp. Oh no! No, God wants his people to be waiting so that when he comes, oh my, we are ready. We are ready. It's all done. We prepared. Our hearts are right with God. Our lamps are trimmed and burning. Oh, he said in verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 38, and if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Praise the Lord. I know time has gone on. And yes, I don't know what watch we're in the Lord's eyes. But all I know, the decades have rolled by. Even the centuries, praise the Lord. Oh yes, even the millenniums. But here we are in this time period. Whatever watch we're in, Jesus said, blessed are those servants that are watching, that are waiting. No matter what watch he arrives at. Paraphrasing here a little bit. In other words, we're to be in a constant state of readiness. Tells us in verse 39, and this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Verse 40 tells us, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Oh, this is a warning, isn't it? Oh my, I know some of us have been waiting a long time. I thank God I was raised with that expectation of the Lord's return. And I can remember commenting to my senior English teacher and saying, you know, I really didn't know that I would make it to this hour. You know, it was just about graduation time. And you know, I had to comment because, you know, I was so aware that one day the Lord Jesus was going to come back. And my, I've been expecting him. But now, as the years have gone by, how much more? Oh, yes, there were a lot of things to observe when I was a girl. But how things have changed. And oh, we comment so often how things have changed these last days, oh, these last years, these last decades. Oh, it's been so noticeable. And here we are with his coming at the door. But oh yes, as Jesus said in verse 40 here in Luke the 12th chapter, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Oh, how true it is. And oh, yes, we know this coming is nigh at hand. Amen. But turning back here, well, right before we go back to Luke 17, let's go to another chapter in Luke. Let's go to the 21st chapter. Let's read some of the end scriptures here in Luke chapter 21, because these scriptures also help us to know how to prepare our hearts and to take heed. And also, these are warnings for us who are at the end of the world. Amen. So Luke 21, verse 34 says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So I believe these two verses here also help us to know that his coming is going to be quickly. It's not going to be with a great warning. It compares his coming to a snare, or in other words, a trap, here in verse 35. And it tells us in that sense that most people are going to be taken unaware. They're not going to be expecting the Lord to come when he comes. And so, yes, we are warned here, this great need to give heed to ourselves. Oh, we better respond. We better think of this seriously, lest at any times our hearts would be overcharged or overtaken, overwhelmed with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And I know these things can happen. Oh, this is no time to let down our guards. This is no time to go liberal and go backslide and think we can take a day off and, you know, do our own thing and forget the Lord. This is no time, oh yes, to go that way. We don't want our hearts to be overcharged with surfeiting, oh, you know, indulgences, excesses. You could say even pleasures of life, things, you know, that are you know, beyond the, you know, a normality, it's an excess. And then he talks about drunkenness. And oh yes, we don't want to be drunken. Oh my, we want, oh yes, to be sharp. Oh, to be keen. Oh yes, we don't want anything, oh, to hinder that. And there's a warning. Yes, drunkenness is included here in this warning. And then it says cares of life, all cares of this life. And oh yes, to a certain extent, we all have cares. You know, there's burdens. There's things we have to tend to. There's things we have to do. But we have to make sure our priorities are right, that our hearts are right. Oh, that need to put the Lord first, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, there is such a need to put God first, to put his kingdom first. So many times God is put on the back burner. Oh, if this works out or that works out, or if I don't have something else to do, then I'll come to church. Oh, yeah, then I'll read my Bible. Oh, then I'll sing and praise the Lord. Oh, if. But I believe it's time to put God first. I think it's time to take God seriously and get our houses in order. Oh, otherwise, there is a warning here. That day could come upon us unawares, unbeknown, all of a sudden, just as judgment struck at the time of Lot. And just as in the day of Noah, suddenly that door, the ark, was closed, and as the rain began to fall. Oh yes, it tells us in verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's going to come quickly, unannounced. Oh yes, he's going to come and not tarry. It's going to be over one of these days. It's going to be like a snare to so many. But here in verse 36, we are told how we can escape the wrath of God. It says in verse 36, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh my, yes, they need to watch, to be ready, to be in readiness, ready to open the door at the moment when our Lord comes, to have our lamps trimmed and burning, and nothing between us and our God. No hindrances, no sin, no strife, no envy, no bitterness, no hatred. None of those things that could keep us out of the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, he's going to come. But yes, we're told we've got to watch. And we've got to pray always. Oh, yes, that prayer in our heart, to pray without ceasing. But oh, yes, to dedicate even the very first of our day to the Lord. Oh, yes, that prayer in the night, that prayer in the morning, that prayer as we go down the street, as we drive the car, as we stand in line. Oh, as we, you know, do our business, go about our business. Because, yes, we want to be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord, He's going to come. And, yes, with His coming shall come forth judgment. Judgment, oh, yes. But praise the Lord, if we're born again of the water and of the Spirit, if our lives are rooted in the Word of God, then, oh, yes, He's made a way that we can escape His wrath. Oh, yes, that condemnation that's going to come upon this world. Oh, yes, it's shaking now, but, oh, my, at His coming, it's going to shake like nothing, oh, that has ever been seen before. Oh, as He comes there in the clouds. Oh, yes, sending forth His angels. Oh, yes, to gather His elect from the four corners of this earth. Oh, what a day that is going to be. That sudden realization as every eye begins to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And oh, yes, that realization that this is indeed, this is the Messiah. This is Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. And even those that pierced Him are going to recognize and acknowledge and know who He is. And oh yes, that seventh verse in Revelation 1 talks about all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Oh, what a moment it's going to be. It's going to be so important that we are ready. We do not know the day of His coming. Oh my, it could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, it could be a year from now. But oh my, He's coming. And yes, He's going to come and not tarry. When it's time, it's time. It's going to be over, regardless if we're ready or not. But oh, how we want to be ready. Amen. Praise the Lord. Going back to Luke 17 here. We had read verse 31, and I'm going to read it again. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And then this little verse here, remember Lot's wife. Oh, yes. Remember Lot's wife. And as we think on this, let's go to the book of Genesis. Let's just discover again what this is all about. Oh, praise the Lord. As we turn to Genesis, let's look at the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis. And it tells us in verse 20 here in this chapter that there was a cry of sin. Verse 20 says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. Oh, the cry of sin. The rebellious hearts, all the iniquity, all these things. And there's a cry going up right now that God Almighty hears. But oh yes, there was a cry coming from Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. Yes, we know here in this story there were three men that were approaching. Abraham, and yes, there's quite the conversation is actually God reveals to Abraham and Sarah that they are going to have that child, that promised child. But oh my, there's this other matter. The two of the three go towards Sodom, and God stays here. He's going to have a talk with Abraham. So it tells us, and you know, a little prior to this, in this scripture, God had, I don't know how it was, well, obviously in thought process, God's declarations, he had, you know, asked, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Verse 18 says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And oh yes, all those things. And obviously, he told Abraham what he was going to do. That judgment that was forthcoming towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And so, yes, Abraham is having a conversation with him. It tells us that Abraham stood yet before the Lord in verse 22. And it says in verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? So Abraham is pleading with God because he has a concern. Oh yes, somebody he loved was in Sodom and Gomorrah. His nephew Lot and Lot's family were there. And, you know, it does tell us in 2 Peter that, you know, that Lot was a righteous man, and he was vexed every day by the evil conversation of the wicked that surrounded him there in Sodom. And so here, Abraham is talking to God, and actually he's pleading for his nephew Lot. And God says in verse 26, and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And I think, you know, I'm sure Abraham realized, oh my, I'm sure he knew somewhat of what that area, those cities were like. So, you know, on second thought, perhaps it says, and Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy the city for lack of 5? And he said, this being God, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And then all more consideration. And Abraham speaks again. Verse 29, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And, you know, God replying, I will not do it for 40's sake. And then, oh, you know, verse 30, Abraham, oh, it's in his heart. And he's not so sure that there's going to be 50, you know, people that are righteous. He's not so sure there's going to be 45 or 40. And so in verse 30, he says, and he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And oh my, even thinking of 30, oh my, there's probably not 30 there. And he said in verse 31, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And oh, again, more consideration. And Verse 32, Abraham again said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there." And this is what God said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." Oh, God's mercy, his stretched out arm. And I thank God right now. I had heard that the President of the United States, Donald Trump, had asked that people would pray for him as he took his case to the Supreme Court. I heard that, Sister Dawn, let me know. And you know, I thank God that, you know, he is aware of the need for prayer. Praise the Lord. And I have a feeling that our president does realize that prayer can change things, that we need God's mercy. We need his grace. We're living, oh yes, in very difficult, perilous moments. Oh yes, anything could go. Oh my, we could be on the brink of a civil war for all we know. It's entirely possible. But I praise the Lord. He is righteous, and he oversees the affairs of men. And I thank God we can put everything in God's hands. We can hold our peace and let the Lord fight our battles. Praise the Lord. And God is righteous, and he knows how to do it. But oh yes, here in the book of Genesis chapter 19, we see that all those two angels went forth into Sodom. And oh yes, Lot went to meet them, and yes, they came to the home where Lot lived. And yes, it tells us, oh, and we read some of this the other week, and we know that while the visitors, actually angels, were at the home of Lot, that the evil Sodomites came and surrounded that home. It says both old and young, all people from all quarters of that area came. Oh, they had heard there were visitors, and they wanted to know these men. And oh my, all the wickedness in their heart. Oh, it was truly horrendous. Very, very bad. And oh yes, it was so bad that the angels had to smite these wicked men with blindness, because oh yes, they were trying very hard to break down the door. But God went forward, oh yes, to protect his child. Amen. So it tells us here in Genesis, this 19th chapter, verse 11, "And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves upon the door. And the man said unto Lot," these would be the angels that have come here to see Lot and to get him out, "hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place?" Verse 13 tells us, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Oh, they wouldn't listen. It was just like the time of Noah when, oh yes, they were warned, but they would not heed. And oh yes, these sons-in-law thought it was just the silliest thing, it seems. And they, oh yes, they were as one that mocked when Lot entreated them and told them that it was very important that they would get out of there, that the Lord was going to destroy that city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Verse 15 tells us, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And again, there was some hesitation. Oh, this was home to them, and they had things there. They had loved ones there. Oh, they didn't know, really, you know, to get up and leave. Oh, my, it was a hard moment, obviously. And even for Lot, it appears. It says, and while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Oh, he had to get out. God was withholding judgment until that righteous man, whose soul had been vexed from day to day with their filthy conversation, their filthy conduct, and their filthy deeds. Oh, he had to be brought out. And here it is in verse 17. They were told, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot's going to argue with this. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. Oh, God is so merciful. Oh, my, God knows how to keep us in all our ways. He would have known how to keep Lot and his wife and his daughters, even in the mountain. But, oh, my, they were city folks, I guess. And the mountain just seemed too adventuresome for them, obviously. So Lot pleaded. And God, in his mercy, said in verse 21, and he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. But then, verse 22, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. Tells us in verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Oh, God means what he says. Oh, when he talks about judgment, we know that it is pending. We know that there is a day when it will come forth. God's word is true, and what he has declared will come to pass. And here, just as he warned Lot and his family to get out of there, it came to pass, just as God had declared. Yes, those cities were overthrown, and all the cities of the plain were overthrown. All the inhabitants of the cities, oh yes, were destroyed, and everything that grew upon the ground. Verse 26, however, tells us, oh yes, God had mercifully taken Lot and Lot's wife and his two daughters out of that city. But oh my, Lot's wife, Mrs. Lot, obviously, had a love for that city. Her heart was still in that city. Oh, she hadn't given things over to the Lord. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, she had family back there and a house back there, possessions back there, and whatever all, maybe, you know, friends, you know, whatever all that she valued. And it tells us in verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Oh my, they were told very strictly that need to escape for their lives and not to look behind them and where to go at all. Oh, it was a very declarative statement from Almighty God. But Lot's wife did not give heed. Obviously, it was still in her heart, those cities and all that she had back there. And she looked back. Perhaps she even returned or attempted to return. But oh my, in such, she became a pillar of salt. Oh yes, as God's judgment began to fall. Oh yes, as God rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire, oh, that lava and everything else, that sulfur, oh yes, that came down, that burns with a blue flame and that stifling odor that comes forth from sulfur. Oh yes, as God rained that kind of judgment upon those cities and upon the cities of the plain. Oh yes, she was caught in God's judgment. Oh, our God does mean what he says. He tells us in verse 27, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld. And lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Oh, the power of intercession. Oh my, look what God did, because there was a man that stood in the gap, so to speak, to make intercession for his loved ones. Oh, there was a cry in his heart. He had a loved one in that city, in that family. Oh yes, those relatives. Oh, and he was so concerned that he pleaded with God. Oh, I thank God we can still plead for our loved ones, our families, all the people that are not right with God. And thank God we serve a merciful God who hears. Oh, yes, and knows how to intervene. Oh, yes, how to make a way. He hears the cries of his people. He heard Abraham's plea, his request, his beseeching, praise the Lord. And God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Oh, praise the Lord, our merciful, righteous God. Oh, who sees it all, who knows it all. And I thank God we still have some moments. We still have a little time. And oh, by the grace of God, we're going to see some great things yet happen. Some loved ones saved and plucked out of the fire. Oh, yes, before this is all over, by the grace of God. But we have warning. God does give space to repent. Oh, yes, he gives a pause. And God's nature is that, oh, he would have none to perish, but he would have all to come to repentance. That is God's nature. He doesn't want to send people to the lake of fire. No, that lake of fire was made for the devil and his angels. But oh my, as iniquity hath abounded. Now we see that there is no other alternative than to God to show his wrath when people are warned and warned and warned and do not give heed. Well, how we need to give heed tells us in Matthew 24, verse 12. Matthew 24, verse 12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And that's what we're seeing. Oh my, sometimes people who were fervent for the Lord, oh, things get in the way. The cares of life, or, you know, drunkenness or surfeiting or whatever, all gets in the way. But oh yes, as it already was said earlier tonight, we are in an endurance race. Verse 13 here in Matthew 24 says, "But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." Oh yes, we've got to keep on going. Oh yes, iniquity is abounding. It's overflowing. Oh, that cup of God's wrath, oh, must be over the brim at this point. But yes, it's told us here because of the conditions of this world. Oh, that lukewarm spirit. It can easily prevail. It does prevail. It talks about, oh yes, many be taken in the snare, and the love of many shall wax cold. Cold. Oh, I'll tell you what. John in the book of Revelation talked about that lukewarm spirit. Oh yes, if we look at Revelation chapter 3, we hear and read how God, through his angel, addressed John on behalf of the Laodiceans, the church of Laodicea. Revelation 3, verse 14, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Oh, what a condition to be in. And oh yes, we just read in Matthew 24, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Is this a description of that coldness? Oh yes. And God seeing the works, nothing is hidden from our God. No, he saw this church of Laodicea. He saw their works. He knew their hearts. He knew their doings. And yes, he knew that they were not on fire for him like they had once been. But he saw them as they were. They weren't cold, but they weren't hot. No, they were in a condition of lukewarmness. And they are rebuked, therefore. Verse 16 here, Revelation 3 declares, "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." I will spit thee out of my mouth, God is saying. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Oh, God saw them. Oh, they didn't know the condition of their heart. Oh, how we need the Lord to examine our hearts. Oh, yes, and see if there be any wicked thing in us. Oh, if there be anything, oh, of a lukewarm spirit. Oh, we need to examine ourselves to see if we're on fire for the Lord, if our priorities are right, if our hearts are right, if we have that zeal of the Lord of hosts deep within our being. Oh, yes, this church was rebuked. They thought they were rich. They had all that they needed. And you know, they were increased with goods. It was going well. They felt blessed, you know. It was going well. They didn't think they needed anything. But sadly, they didn't see the true state of affairs. They didn't really see how their hearts really were. They didn't know that they were in the sight of God, wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Oh, verse 18 tells us, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." Oh, yes, this walk with the Lord comes with a price. Yes, there are things that go wrong. There are heartaches. There are trials. There are burdens. Oh, yes, you know, we may have all manner of people turn against us. It's a fight until the end. Oh, yes, it's an endurance race. But, oh, yes, it's said here in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. Oh, yes, we're going to be tried. We're going to be purified. We've got to be purified in order to stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, yes, that cry, oh, that comes out because, oh, yes, they didn't see their condition. And, oh, here we are, the end of the world. And, oh, my, there's been many blessings here in America. We've had a lot of good things. We've had a lot of good privileges and a lot of joys. I know there's been trials. There's been tests. There's been heartaches. There's been sickness. Oh, there's been pain and all of that, too. But, oh, my. Sometimes the things that matter most go unnoticed and unheeded. Oh, yes, how we need to be clothed with that white raiment. Oh, oh, that raiment. Oh, yes, it tells us in the fifth verse of this third chapter of Revelation, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Oh, how we need to be clothed with his raiment. Oh, no, our own righteousness would never do. In fact, we know from Isaiah 64, verse 6, that all our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Oh, yes, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as a filthy rag. But how we need, oh, we need the Savior, one who came to this earth. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, it tells us in Isaiah 59, and as a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Oh, our God came, oh yes, so that we might be clothed with his righteousness, so we can stand before him and hear him say, well done. Oh, so we can count it worthy to stand before him. Oh yes, we could never do enough good deeds on our own to have that righteousness which is required. Oh, we have to have the righteousness that is of God. It tells us in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. You know, that's what life is all about. Life is about getting ready to meet the King. Life is about keeping our garment. And oh yes, getting our hearts right so that we can stand before God. Listen, nothing else is going to matter when we stand before God. All that is going to matter, are we dressed in his righteousness? Have we given our hearts over to the Lord? Are we clean and spotless in his sight? Have we obeyed the gospel? Can we stand before the Lord? Verse 8 here in Revelation 19 tells us, speaking of the church, to the bride of Christ, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And again, no, it's not any righteousness of our own, but it's the righteousness that God puts upon our hearts when we turn to Him, when we turn our hearts over to the Lord, when we come to Him and repent. Oh, yes, and realize that we can do nothing without God, that we need Him. We need His righteousness. We need to be clothed upon, oh, yes, with His righteousness, with His Spirit. We need to be breathed upon. Oh, yes, we could not do it on our own accord. We could not do enough good deeds. Oh, yes, to be clean and pure before the Almighty God. No, because, oh, yes, that church of the living God is a church that is pure and without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. All those characteristics, oh, that we could only have by the grace of God. Oh, no, it isn't by the righteousness that we have done, but by it's by His mercy that He saved us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, when He bought us. Oh, yes, He put upon us His garment of righteousness. Oh, yes, He saved us, as it tells us in Titus 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, He made a way. He made a way of escape, just as He gave Noah a way of escape from his pending judgment. He gave Lot a way of escape. Oh, yes, so he could escape the wrath of God and get out of those cities before God overturned them with His judgment. Oh, yes. And likewise, God has made a way. Oh, His mercy is so great to us. And He made a way that, oh, yes, our sins could be washed away by those waters of regeneration. Oh, praise the Lord. We come to the Lord in repentance. And then we obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And praise the Lord, those waters, oh, they regenerate us. They flow, yes, to make us new creatures in Christ. Praise the Lord. And yes, the promise of the Holy Ghost, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. And He has made a way of escape so we don't have to be condemned. And oh my, what regret there would be if we don't give heed to the things that we have heard. We don't give heed to the Word of God and do the things that He has asked us to do. I'd like to turn to Colossians, the first chapter here, as I get ready to close this message. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Let's look at verse 20 as we begin this train of thought here. Colossians 1:20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him, to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have He reconciled." Oh, praise the Lord. He made a way that we could approach God, that we could be right in the sight of God. We could be brought back to the living God and be cleansed of all our filthy deeds and all those errors of the flesh that once were a part of us. Oh, yes. Tells us in 22 here, "In the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we want to stand before the Lord in His holiness without any blame. Nothing, oh, to regret. And unreprovable, oh my, no reproof needed because we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled to God. We've been brought back, oh, to the living God. So one day, oh yes, we can stand before Him, clothed with His righteousness, washed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh yes, able to stand as He presents us. Holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Oh, praise the Lord. No condemnation to hinder us, to clobber us, to keep us out of heaven. Oh, that's how we want to be before God. But then verse 23 is conditional. He has the word if here. It says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Oh, praise the Lord, our God being so merciful and so gracious. And even, yes, oh, that time, oh, yes, that those 3 days and nights when he was in the belly of the earth, oh, he tells us that he went and preached to those souls. They were, I would say, in Hades, that, oh yes, had even been disobedient. He mentions particularly the days of Noah. I believe Jesus Christ went and presented himself to those that were in condemnation, that had not heard. Oh yes, there was going to be an opportunity even for such as they were. It says, yes, in 1 Peter, that third chapter, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, or the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Oh my, oh what a time that was. God holding out in mercy, oh coming to them, oh yes, to present himself as a Savior, as a way out, as a ways, a way of escape. Praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord knows, oh, how to give warning and how to present himself to those that so need his help. Oh, yes, his word. And we all do, don't we? We all need opportunity to get right with God. Oh, to turn our lives over to the living God. And interestingly, in this third chapter of 1 Peter, it talks about how, yes, there were few that were saved by water in the day of Noah. But it mentions this time forward right now, verse 21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a like figure in this time period that we live right now, and that is baptism. Praise the Lord, baptism by water, whereas we can go down into the water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord. So our sins can be blotted out, praise the Lord, so that one day when we stand before God, we can have a good conscience toward God. No blame, no condemnation, no reproof needed. Oh my, because we've turned it all over to the living God and we can stand before him. Oh yes, be presented as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God. Oh, praise the Lord. And a yes, that need, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Oh, God, give me space to repent. And oh, yes, it cries, the scripture cries in Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hebrews 10, verse 38 tells us, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Oh, by the grace of God, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but we are them that believe to the saving of our souls. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God has made a way of escape. And oh, he has given us warning. Oh, yes, so that we can give heed now while we have opportunity, and how we want to be guarded to keep our hearts right with God. Oh, there's no time to draw back. There's no time to backslide. There's no time to move away. Oh, there's no time to be lukewarm. If we never ever needed to be on fire for God, it's right now. By his grace, we're not going to be of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we've been given these warnings. Oh, yes, that warning to remember Lot's wife. Oh, how we want to keep our hearts guarded. How we want to be right in God's sight. We don't want any lukewarmness. Oh, to turn us away. Anything to get between us and our God. No, by his grace, by his mercy, we want to be able to stand before him with boldness in that day of judgment. Praise the Lord. Not condemned, but no. Oh, yes. Able to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Is your heart right tonight? Are you right with God? Are you walking in his ways? Are you keeping his commandments? Oh, yes. Is your lamp trimmed and burning? Oh, praise the Lord. We have opportunity. God gives space. His love, his mercy is so great. But oh, yes, the day of his coming is forthcoming. We don't know the day of his appearing, but all we know is we want to be ready so that when he comes, when he returns, he knocks at the door, we want to be standing there ready to open up that door immediately. No regrets, no sighing, nothing yet to do. Ready to stand before the living God. Is your heart right with God tonight? Oh, I pray it is. Get right with God right now while you have a little time before this is over. Get right with him tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you would talk, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to remember these things that we have heard. Oh, God, that we would not be forgetful of them. Help us to give heed while we can. Talk to our hearts, for you stand at the door and you knock. And I pray, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, all that under the sound of this message would give heed and turn their lives over to thee while they yet have a little time. Oh, help us, Lord. Be here tonight. Oh, God, talk to our hearts. Let the devil be rebuked. Oh, God, let procrastination be rebuked. Oh, God, excuses of all kinds, let them be rebuked. I pray, oh, God, that you would move now in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. In the name of Jesus, oh, Lord, while we still have a little time. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember Lot's wife. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. Oh, we need you, Jesus. Work in our hearts. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to turn our melodies of praise hymnals to number 194 and sing "Are You Washed in the Blood," number 194. Jesus, for the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? All your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? All your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Be safe. Praise the Lord.